that there is only one real ultimate master in this church, and that is God himself. And then second, to remind us that we are all servants of this Father in heaven. So today we're going to look at another example in the Bible. We're going to take a lesson from Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 28. It is a story of a mother who wanted only the very best for her sons. And because she loves them so very much and was so very proud of them, and because she has great aspirations and dreams for them, she came to Jesus one day with a very audacious request. She asked that when Jesus comes into his glorious and powerful kingdom, that Jesus would have one boy, one of her two boys, seated on his right and the other one on his left. She wanted her two boys to have the places of highest honor. And this is no small dreams on her part. With that meager background, let us consider the conversation between Jesus and this mother, and actually the conversation between Jesus and the 12 apostles too. This message is not just for the official board. It is a message for all the pastors. By the way, pray for Pastor Don and Josephine. Their flight's been canceled, so they couldn't join us this Sunday. They will be back this coming week. But also this message is for the entire congregation, that we want to keep growing and serving the Lord Jesus throughout this year. So let's pray together first. Gracious Father, we acknowledge that you are the Lord, you are the ultimate head of this church, and not just of the CCC, but also of all the churches and all the fellowship groups in the world. We pray, Father God, that because you are the master, therefore we ask, as Isaiah asked, that you would send us, you would strengthen us, you would change us, and you would also use us to serve you. We pray, O Lord, for spiritual impact, for breakthrough. We pray, Father God, for visible and tangible growth in our own lives, in our own church, and also for the church of the Lord Jesus scattered upon the face of the earth. So, Lord, as we come together to Matthew chapter 20, show us, teach us, humble us, and at the same time, excite us to serve, for we are your servants. Thank you, Father God, for listening to our prayer, because we pray in the powerful and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the very first things that we want to remind ourselves again and again, that the church has only one master, and therefore, as far as believers or Christians are concerned, we serve only this master, and he is the Lord Jesus. Verse 20, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down, asking a favor of Jesus. What is it that you want? Jesus asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine, that's James and John, may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. When we look at this familiar passage, it is very easy for us to criticize this woman. She may have asked a very important and glorious things, but however, she seems to have come at it with the wrong approach. Her action, however, was understandable though. All she wanted was the very best for her two sons, that they may do well and get ahead in life. Bible commentators, most of them anyway, told us that this mother of the two sons of Zebedee could very well be the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And if that is the case, you know, then she, as Jesus' aunt, is now coming to Jesus and asking Jesus to grant her a favor. So we can clearly understand, you know, the line of thinking within the family group. James and John are by now grown-up people, probably 30 years or older. If you look at Mark chapter 10, you will find that, you know, the request by their mother wasn't just coming from their mother alone. James and John in Mark chapter 10 were also thinking about the same thing. They also were asking dreaming or hoping for a place of power and influence in the kingdom of Jesus. Maybe we see the mother asking Jesus was because since the mother was an aunt of Jesus, maybe Jesus would grant their request quicker. And here is an important thing for all of us parents and even for ourselves. It is very easy to want our children to fulfill our dreams. It is very easy for us to have our own aspirations and ambitions. And oftentimes, we may make the mistakes of asking the wrong thing for ourselves. We may ask God to bless our children in a way that is all good to us, but in a way that goes opposite to what God desires for them. The same thing goes for us as well. Now, having said that, you know, we want to know that there are several things that are commendable about this woman, mother of John and James. First of all, she clearly believes that Jesus will one day, no doubt about it, that Jesus will one day have a kingdom of his own. Not many people at that time believed that. Jesus did not look or act or sound like a typical king. To many people, he seemed just like another traveling rabbi from the region of Galilee. His followers were just common people. And as Jesus was about to enter into Jerusalem, very soon, he would be surrounded by controversies, by accusations, by angry faces. And to the untrained eyes, Jesus definitely did not look like a king at all. However, this woman, the mother of John and James, saw past the superficial to the day when Jesus would indeed reign on earth. So we need to acknowledge that. We need to commend her. We need to give her credit. She believed in Jesus and his coming kingdom, all-powerful and glorious, at a time when most people doubted. Secondly, it is clear that she encouraged her boys, James and John, to follow Jesus, to serve him, to listen to him, to grow in him. And thirdly, we need to say that she did another thing right, is that James and John, being encouraged and nurtured by their mother, ended up among the earliest disciples, among the 12 of Jesus. And fourthly, James and John, along with Peter, were clearly in the top three of all the apostles. When Jesus was transformed or transfigured on the mountain, Peter, James, and John, these three out of the 12 were with Jesus. So their hearts were for Christ. And why shouldn't the mother ask that her boys have the share of highest authority and honor? After all, if someone has to sit on Jesus' right and left, it might as well be James and John. Yes, they serve Christ. And yes, there's a little bit of problem. In fact, there's a big problem with the request and with the way James and John perceive themselves. James and John underestimated the cost of following Jesus. They underestimated that. And on the other hand, they also overestimated their own importance and ability. They didn't ask for work in the coming kingdom. If they have asked for that, or if the mother has asked for that, it would have been a noble request as far as Jesus is concerned. But they asked only for a place of honor. After all, they have been there longer than anyone, except for Peter and Andrew. So Jesus is telling us here that when we serve him, we make sure that we serve only him, not after our own ambition, not after some other kind of agenda. We also need to remind ourselves of the second thing, commitment. Commitment. Those who serve God know that it takes commitment, and sometimes we have to pay a high cost following Jesus. Jesus' reply to the woman's ready answer that her sons are able to talk the talk and walk the walk as followers of Christ is that you have absolutely no idea what you just said. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. It is interesting and important for us to realize that a couple of things. One is that Jesus did not rebuke the mother or James or John. Jesus didn't scold them. Jesus did not deny that in his coming kingdom, there will be seats of honor. Now, take away the selfish motives. You know, that aside, it seems that there is nothing wrong with the question per se. Jesus simply tells them that they don't know what they are asking for. And then he asks the man if they can drink the cup he's about to drink. And bravely, confidently, and somewhat naively, they reply, no problem, we can. Their perspective got a little bit skewed. If you look at the entire chapter of Matthew chapter 20, you would find that, you know, the verses before this few, the passage before these few verses, Jesus was explaining to his disciples that when he goes to Jerusalem, and in chapter 21, the following chapter, Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, that when he goes to Jerusalem, he would be betrayed, arrested, accused, mocked, beaten, and ultimately crucified. Jesus knew what was happening to him, what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem. So when Jesus challenged James and John to join him in drinking the cup and taking his baptism, he was calling them to suffer in his name. They would suffer with him by being faithful to him, by serving him. And this was what the apostles had to look forward to if they truly want to follow the Lord Jesus. We not only serve the Lord Jesus alone, but we realize that every now and then, God might ask us, challenge us to pay a high cost in serving him. When Jesus talked about a cup, it is the cup of an intense personal cost in serving God. When he talked about baptism, he wasn't referring to water baptism, but he was thinking about a full immersion in suffering. Jesus says it would always take commitment, high cost to serve him. And that is exactly what happened. If you read on in the rest of the Bible, you find that James of the 12 apostles was the very first one to die. That's in Acts chapter 12. He was put to death by Herod Agrippa. As for John, he was the last of the 12 to die. However, he was exiled to a faraway island called Patmos. So between the two of them, James and John, who asked Jesus for this very unique honor, Jesus said both of them would be suffering for him in the days to come. And between James and John, they serve like a set of bookmarks because all the other 10 apostles also ended up suffering for the Lord Jesus. James and John wanted to talk about the glory and the power that would come in the kingdom of Christ. But Jesus reminded them about the cost of commitment. And sometimes that cost of commitment involves suffering. As we serve for board, for committee, for worship teams, for people in the nursery, children's worship, for anyone, in any ministries at CCC. Let us remind ourselves that, you know, besides serving Jesus alone, we would ask God to also give us strength so that we can serve and pay the cost of commitment when comes time. And the third reminder is that, you know, serving, it doesn't matter whether you are a pastor or whether you are an usher, whatever your ministry is, serving is also at the same time a journey of personal discipleship in Christ. Verse 24, when the 10 heard about it, the 10 disciples, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over you. They like to exercise their power over you. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Four very important words. Not so with you. Not so with you. Instead, for God's people, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be the first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came, not asking to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The disciples have started to argue among themselves, and that's just part of human nature as we serve together. Very often our human natures, our personalities, our own sinfulness get in the way of serving God and serving one another. So the other 10 disciples were angry with James and John because like James and John, they too did not want to lose out. Know that again, Jesus doesn't condemn them. Jesus used their bickering as a reminder, as a teaching moment, a discipleship moment, to challenge them to channel their ambition, their desire, their commitment in a brand new direction. Jesus understands that his followers, you and I, can be misguided from time to time. Four very important words as we serve. Not so with you. It is a process of not so with you. This time Jesus says, not so with you. Next time Jesus says again, not so with you. Not so with us because we do not belong to this world. Not so with us because we are imitators of Christ. He intentionally used two very important words to impress upon the 12 disciples and us about the nature of servanthood. The first is in verse 26. Diakonos, it means servant, a male servant or a female servant. And later on, it took up, you know, on it serves the technical translation of deacons. But basically, it is servants, waiters and waitresses. A very humbling profession in the days of Jesus. And the second very important and telling word is in verse 27, slaves, doulos. Jesus is telling us, do you want to be a leader? You want to be my follower? You want to get involved in God's work? That is great because we need all kinds of people. But here's what I want you to do. Become a servant, become a slave. Pick up a towel and start washing feet. Jesus is saying to us, think of yourself as slaves and not as a master. And we know that the Bible has many such sayings. Jesus, in essence, is saying that we are to serve people with the humility and love of Christ. The disciples have been with Jesus for about 3 years now. And as they serve, and now as they're upset with one another, Jesus tells them, even as you are serving me, it is a discipleship moment for you. It would always be for us, serve as you grow, and grow as you serve. Very often, when pastors get together, they like to ask this question, how big is your church? How many people do you have? How many different types of ministries? How many people are on your staff? What is your collection on an average Sunday? Or maybe, you know, a month. What is your operating budget in missions? So a lot of pastors are very, very interested in things like this. But maybe sometimes instead of asking how big is CCC, we should ask how great is CCC? How great is our church? How great is your church? We know that the church is great when her people, when her pastors, when her leaders, when her committees understand that they are first and foremost servants of Christ. We know that a church is great when the people are willing, the congregation are willing to look at them as slaves and servants in Jesus to other people. We know that the church is great when the congregation is serving even as they are growing or struggling along. And as they struggle and make mistakes as they serve, they would still be encouraged and determined to serve. We know that the church is great if she recognizes that Jesus came to serve us so that we can serve other people. We know that the church is great if she understands that Jesus serves us even as we serve other people. So be a servant, be a slave. Paul understands that because from time to time, Paul, in his opening lines, in the books that he wrote, would always identify himself as a servant, as a slave, a doulos of God. I want to close with this quote from Napoleon. He once said, "Alexander the Great, Caesar of Rome, King Charlemagne and myself have founded empires. But upon what do this creation of our genius depend? The answer, upon force. Jesus alone, however, founded his empire upon love. And to these very days, millions and millions would die for him." And that is so true. When we serve as believers like Jesus, we serve out of love because we have seen in Jesus coming as a servant among us. And even after 2,000 years, our board, our worship teams, our pastors, our lay leaders, our entire congregation still want to affirm before God that we are God's servants and we want to keep serving and growing in humility and love of God. So remember, we serve Jesus alone. Number two, we understand that sometimes it can be pricey, but God will give us strength and power to do that. And number three, even as we serve, it is a very good time to be discipled by the Lord Jesus. Why? For we take our example from the Lord. Verse 28, "Just as the Son of Man, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." I ask that from time to time, whether you have designated time of prayer or just a few moments, continue to lift up those who serve at CCC and outside of CCC. Pray for the board. If you're too busy to encourage them with a word or two, you can encourage them. Even though they may not be aware of it, when you pray for them before God. Pray for yourself, pray for your family, that they may serve and grow at the same time. And pray that this year, because we desire for God to do more and more great things in our church, we would see that we are growing, we are serving, and at the same time, God is giving us increase from time to time. Let us pray. Gracious Father God, we thank you that in your church, including here at CCC, no one can compete with you, and no one dares to compete with you, for you are the King Almighty, God Eternal. And we ask, O Lord, that as we are still waiting for more staff to join us, as we are organizing for this year, as we have plans And as we struggle to put plans together, we just ask, O Lord, that you would remind us that we are the sheep of your pasture, and that the Good Shepherd is already leading us, feeding us, and prepping us. So, Lord, if anyone among us have needs, we pray, Father God, that we would know that this need has already been met by you graciously and in abundance. And we pray, Father God, that as our church looks forward and moves on this year, O Lord, bless each and every member of the church and turn them into faithful, joy-filled, and hope-filled servers under the leadership of the Lord Jesus. And help us, Father God, to be amazed at what you have already been doing, are doing, and will do among your people these years. May praise and honor go to you. We thank you, O Lord, for we can pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now I'd like to invite the official board of 2018 to come up so that we can encourage them one with another, and so that we can pray for them, and so that we can